As you can see, we start a new sermon series this morning in the book of Exodus, and if you have a Bible with you, I would strongly encourage you to turn there. It's at the very beginning of your Bible. It's in the Old Testament, and we're going to be spending the next couple of months in the book of Exodus. And as you saw, Exodus literally means to evacuate, to rescue, and Exodus is literally the rescue of God's people, the rescue of God's people. You don't need rescue unless you're trapped. You don't need liberation unless you're enslaved. And so today, where we find ourselves at the very beginning of this book, is that things were not only bad for God's people, but things had gone from bad to worse. Where we're going to walk into the story, things had gone from bad to worse. I don't even know if when I say that, you walked in here this morning and that is exactly how you would describe the circumstances of your life. That things have been difficult, life has been a grind, and maybe you feel like things are trending from bad to worse. And so if you ever feel like snoozing when the alarm goes off, and maybe you hit it 10 or 15 times, or maybe that's just me, I'm so glad you got up. Because I believe God brought you here this morning to hear this truth that I pray you will never forget. God is always at work to orchestrate the rescue of his people. God is always at work to orchestrate the rescue of his people. But I don't want you just to take my word for it. I want you to see where this is true in Scripture. So would you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning? And we're going to read from Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. It says, "Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him, and she coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the river Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile while her servants walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her slave girl, took it and opened it, and saw him, the child. And there he was, a little boy crying. She felt sorry for him, and she said, 'This is one of the Hebrew boys.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Should I go and call a Hebrew woman who is nursing to come nurse this boy for you?' 'Go,' she said. So the girl went and called the boy's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child and nurse him for me, and I'll pay your wages.' So the woman took the boy and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.' When the mother could no longer hide the boy, she put him in a basket and floated him down the Nile. The king's daughter found him. The boy's mother raised him. But the king's daughter adopted him and said, 'His name will be Moses, because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we've come to this place to make much of your name, to draw attention to you, because we know that you love your people and you are always orchestrating the circumstances of our lives to bring about your glory and our joy. I pray that you would remind every man, woman, and child in this room and who can hear the sound of my voice that they would know and believe that you are always working to orchestrate the rescue of your people. And I pray that that truth would make a difference in the days ahead. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I mentioned just a moment ago that things for God's people were not only difficult, it was not only bad, but things were trending towards worse. God's people, as we read it here in Exodus, were enslaved and oppressed by the Egyptians. Now, you can't start a sermon series entitled Exodus and talk about the rescue of God's people without describing, at least briefly, how the people came to be enslaved. And if you were to go back and read Genesis, you will read that part of God's plan to save his people during a famine was to lead them to the land of Egypt, where there was grain, where there was food, where they could survive. And they not only survived, but the people of God began to thrive and flourish and multiply. What started with just a few Israelites living in Egypt became hundreds of thousands of Israelites. God's people were multiplying by incredible numbers in the land of Egypt. So much so that a new king in Egypt, we call this king Pharaoh. He is recorded in Exodus chapter 1 as Pharaoh. The king looked around, he saw the multiplication of God's people and said, "It's not good that there are nearly as many of them as there are as us. This is not a good trend." So what he did is he enslaved God's people. He put them into forced labor. He made the work difficult. He oppressed them. But the people still had families. The God's people, the Israelites, continued to multiply. To the extent that Pharaoh said, "My measures are not working. We'll continue to oppress and increase the hardship on God's people. But we need to take a step a little further. We need to make things a little bit more difficult for them to multiply." And one of the most sobering, one of the most difficult verses in all of the Bible is the last verse of the previous chapter. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, Pharaoh told his people, "Every time a baby is born among the Hebrew nation, if it is a girl, let that child live. But if it is a boy, throw that baby in the Nile River." Throw that boy in the Nile River. Thereby, if that child cannot grow up to start his own family, the multiplication will end. Problem solved. It's a terrible reality and a truthful story. Let me remind you that we live in a beautiful but a broken world that is damaged and stained by sin. And one of the consequences of sin is that people do bad things. This is a terrible truth that we see historically happened. But what did I tell you when we started together? Even when things are going from bad to worse, God is always at work to orchestrate the rescue of his people. That in the midst of this plan by Pharaoh to eliminate the Hebrews, God's hand was at work to rescue his people. And the rescue plan kicked off in full gear with the birth and the arrival of this child named Moses. Now, when this boy is born, he is placed in a basket. And we don't have his name yet, but at the end of the verses that we just read, we discover that this baby's name would become Moses. This Hebrew woman, as we just read in this text, she had a little boy, and she couldn't hide him any longer. She knew that there was a death sentence on all the little boys, but she couldn't hide him any longer. And so what she did when he was, unable to hide him, as she put him in a basket. Talks about covering that basket with pitch, that's tar, so it would be waterproof, and she floated that baby down the Nile River. Now, what happens, if you know anything about the story of Moses, is that he not only would be brought out of the Nile River by the king's daughter, but that he would grow up into one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Moses is one of the heroes of our faith. This little boy who was placed in the Nile River in this basket, who was rescued by the daughter of King Pharaoh, would grow to become the man that God would use to liberate his people. If you know the story of Scripture, that you know that God got Moses' attention as a grown man. And God gave him a calling. We talked about this last week. That God calls men and women that are part of his family into unique leadership roles in his kingdom. And God raised up Moses to lead his people out of slavery. If you know Scripture or if you don't, one of the most incredible things about the details of Exodus is that it says he was born into a Levite family. May not seem like a big detail, but the Levites, among all the tribes of God's people, the Levites were the priests. Priests are the ones who stood on behalf of God to the people and on behalf of the people to God. They were leaders. They were the mouthpiece of God among the community of the Israelites. God raised up this boy to liberate his people. Now, that's a little bit of a spoiler alert. We know that that happened by the parting of the Red Sea. God led all of his people out of Egypt. If you didn't know that, then now you know there is a rescue coming. There is an evacuation plan that will unfold. But we're not there yet. Today, we need to understand that in the midst of things being difficult and going from bad to worse, that God was at work before the eventual rescue happened. We need to see in Scripture today, someone in the room, we need to see that before the ultimate rescue literally took place, God was already at work to orchestrate it. Now, the reason you and I need to see that is because for many of us, we feel that we are in circumstances where things are going from bad to worse and we cannot see God at work. We cannot see God at work and we feel abandoned. It's okay for you to say, I feel abandoned by God. I feel that He has left me. It's okay for you to say that. I don't know if you read the Psalms, but there are Psalms of lament. There is an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations. It is a collection of people lamenting the circumstances of their life. It's okay to say you feel abandoned. You cannot find God. You can't see God. But one of the most important truths, and I hope that you will remember this, not only today in the next 7 weeks in Exodus, but if you have a pen, you might want to write this down on the sermon notes that come with the bulletin. You might want to jot it in the margin of your papers, of your Bible. But I hope that you will remember this. God is at work even when it doesn't feel like it. God is at work even when it doesn't feel like it. Now, the reason I tell you that is because oftentimes we put our full confidence in the way something makes us feel. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, that must be the right choice for me to make, right? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever made a choice based on how something felt, only to find out that it does not lead where you thought it would lead? You ever made a choice on how something made you feel, but it actually not only doesn't lead you where you want to go, it leads you, we're talking about slavery, we're talking about being trapped, it actually led you into being trapped. Maybe that was a relationship that it felt right. You didn't pray about it. You didn't really seek God's counsel, but it just felt right. It felt good. So you wander into those waters only to find out that you're trapped in a relationship that not only you cannot hear the voice of God, it is not God honoring, but you don't know how to get out of it. You don't know how to redeem the circumstances. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe you pursue a career or you pursue a decision because it feels good. It feels right. You haven't inquired for the voice of God. You haven't invited people around you in your life to speak into that decision, but you just go and do it because it feels good. And you find yourself ultimately trapped in a cycle of performance, and your identity and your worth are wrapped up in performing to keep the job that felt good at first, but now it is overwhelming and the weight of it is crushing, and you wake up in the morning dreading going to work by the thing that you thought felt good and was the right decision. Listen, I could play that scenario out in each of our lives in hundreds of ways. But oftentimes, we make choices based on what feels right, and feelings can mislead us. Feelings can lie to us. In the same way, you can feel like God's not at work. You can feel like He's abandoned you, but that doesn't mean it's true, because your feelings can lie to you, and the enemy would love to have you believe when life hits the fan that God is nowhere to be found. But all throughout Scripture, woven throughout the narrative of the Bible, is that God will never leave or forsake His people. That's one of the things that happens when we gather on Sunday mornings. One of the things that happens on Sunday mornings, even if you don't feel it, you ever come to worship when you don't feel it? Is that you hear, maybe as Ronnie sung the lyrics of the song, maybe as Jay led the prayer time, you hear the promises of God. You are reminded that He's good, in a way that no one else the other 6 days of the week is going to tell you. In a way that the world won't hold up and value for you and remind you that even when you can't feel it, God is at work to orchestrate your redemption or your rescue. I guarantee you on the morning that Moses was placed in that basket, I guarantee you there were very few people on the planet that even knew it was happening. We know that Moses' mother was involved, clearly. His sister was involved because she was stationed on the banks of the river so that when the baby was drawn out of the water, she suggested, hey, would you like somebody to help you raise this newborn? And we know that Pharaoh's daughter, obviously part of the story, there was a handful of people that knew it had happened. Now, what do we know about this baby's life? What did I say just a few moments ago? This boy would grow up to be the man of God who would lead God's people to rescue, to redemption, to liberty. But we didn't know that when he was born. He was born and his life was unseen by most. It was still a hot day in Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of God's people are making bricks and building cities. It didn't feel like redemption had happened. But that didn't mean God wasn't at work. God is at work even when it doesn't feel like it. Praise God that Moses' mom had the courage to do what she did. Because this boy grew up to fulfill his calling from God. That is one of the reasons I'm so grateful this text has been chosen for months for us to preach at all of our campuses today. And the day that worked for Renee, the president of Hope Clinic, to be with us was February 4th, where Renee talked about that even what happens that is unseen is valuable. That even a child who is unseen or unborn has value and has life. It is why we advocate for the unseen, for the unborn. It is why we say that every life matters, every life has dignity, from the unborn and the unseen, to the healthy and the strong, to the disabled and the weak, every life matters. And I would just like to say, I'm so grateful you shared today. What do you do, even if you're a Christian, what do you do if your girlfriend gets pregnant and you panic and you don't know what to do, but you know that Scripture says that child's life matters? What led to this may have been a poor choice or something that you didn't intend, but that child's not an accident. Or a family that is married and within being married, you have a baby and that baby has disabilities or different challenges and struggles. Where do you go to be reminded that that child wouldn't be here unless God had a purpose for that baby? What can we do to value that life from the unseen to the sunset years of senior adulthood? Praise God that even though nearly no one else could see that God was at work, in 2018 we are talking about the reality that you can trust that He is orchestrating the rescue of His people even when it doesn't feel like it. And for some of us, if I stopped there and closed in prayer, that would be what we need to hear. Because you feel alone, you feel isolated, you feel kicked in the teeth. But God will never abandon or leave His people, ever. Maybe you just want to hold on to that. Maybe that's a soft pillow and a warm blanket during this difficult season of life. But I don't want you to lose sight of something that is so incredible, that is just as important as the reality that God is at work, and it's this, that God will take what is intended to destroy you, and He will use it, He will reshape it, He will repurpose it to actually bring about life, to bring about rescue, to bring about salvation. Is it lost on anyone in the room that the most powerful, wealthy, well-known king of his day, Pharaoh of Egypt, said, "I want you to take every Hebrew boy and throw them in this river." And it was that thing that was intended to destroy this child and hundreds of thousands of others. It was the very thing that was intended to ruin his life that God said, "I won't allow it. I'll take what man intends and I will reshape it and repurpose it to bring about not only the flourishing of Moses, but He will ultimately bring about the rescue of my people." That means there's no one in this room that's too far gone. There is not a man or woman or child in this room who has made a mistake that is so bad that God can't redeem and restore it. You need to hear that, because even if that's not you, you're going to make a mistake in the week ahead. You're going to make a poor decision potentially in the years ahead. And in the same way, when Holly plays keys this morning and she taps a key and the piano knows how to play the right melody, the Holy Spirit is just going to gently nudge you or impress upon your heart, just like striking a key on your heart. And even when it doesn't feel like it, even when you feel hopeless, what's going to come out is the reminder of Exodus chapter 2, that God's saying, "If I can redeem and restore the Nile River to bring about the rescue of my people, I can work with this too." And you're going to need to hear that when all feels hopeless, when all feels lost. And do you know what? Maybe that doesn't apply in this season of life for you. And that's okay. That's okay. Some of us, it might. You walk in, that's what you need to hear this morning. And it's true. It's not Aaron. It's not just not what we sing about. Like, it's God's word. It's true. It came from Him first. But I got a feeling there's somebody in your life who needs to hear this. There is a man or woman or child that woke up somewhere within a stone's throw of you, in your apartment community, the gym you worked out at this morning, at the park you'll go run in later this evening. And they need to hear this truth that God can take the circumstances of your life, which you may think might put you under, and He can redeem and restore that. And you need to be anticipating that. You need to be anticipating that God will simply put people in front of you that need to hear this truth. I mentioned last week, I challenged us this year to be a congregation that shares our faith more. Like, we're demonstrating it. We're serving. We're loving. And I pray we will continue. We're not perfect, but like we're doing well in so many areas. I pray that we will become even more proficient, more faithful in verbally sharing our faith. And I mentioned last week that you need to anticipate sharing your story with others. And people started reaching out to me this week and said the only thing that's changed for me is I started actually anticipating that God would want me to share. And like, here's a conversation I had. And we didn't say that our role is to save a person. Our role is to, it's not to rescue them. Don't ever get caught up in the complex that you can save or rescue somebody. That's a performance-based issue. Your approval comes from God saying, I love you. You don't have to work for it. But he is pleased with obedience. You just trust him. That's the best way we can honor him and say, we do love you. And we share our story. And then we trust God with the outcome. And one person emailed me and said, I anticipated and I shared my story. ... anticipating. Whew, man. We need to anticipate that someone around you needs to hear your story of how God rescued you. I anticipate having conversations, not only about just sharing the good news of Jesus, but maybe there's something in my story and in my life that I can tell someone else that they're there and they find hope in how God, not me, but they find hope in how God is at work in my life. So I'm constantly trying to anticipate having gospel conversations with people. There's a boy in our neighborhood, one of our neighbors. I absolutely love him. He rings our doorbell 2, 3, 5, 10 times a day, okay? He comes by the house, and we love him. His parents know this, so I'm not, like, talking about him. Like, we love him. And when he comes to the door, for the last 4 years we've lived in the neighborhood, I have said, hey, who loves you? And at first he was like, my parents? I don't know who. And I'm like, God loves you. Yes, your parents too, but, like, God loves you. He's like, okay. And I'm like, who made you? And he's like, God. And I'm like, yeah, you're 2 for 2. Okay, here's the deal. Like, who wants to be your friend forever? And he's like, God. And I'm like, bingo. Like, that is incredible, 100%. Like, you may not even do that on your test at school this week, but you can win on my front porch. So here's the deal. Like, I ask him that all the time. And so yesterday he rang the doorbell looking for the boys. And he's like, hey, can the boys come out and play? And I'm like, well, they're going to stay inside today, you know. And he's like, oh, okay, all right. And I said, but hey, who made you? He's like, God. And I said, who wants to be a friend? He goes, God. He goes, God. That's what he said to me. I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm the pastor in the neighborhood. Like, he's got me pegged. I need to find a new tact here. But the reason I say that is because I am anticipating what God might be doing in this little boy's life. Who knows? And he might ask me more one day. But he's going to know that my front porch is a safe place for him to figure that out. I'm not trying to replace any role in his life, but like, you don't know whether you're put in your neighborhood, whether you're put in the cubicle at work, whether you're on the treadmill next to somebody that God has strategically put them together for you to share this story, that God can redeem, repurpose any circumstance, and it doesn't have to be something you've done. How many of us are dealing with things that we didn't ask for? Somebody else made a decision. Something else happened in culture. And now we're trying to find our way out of something that we didn't invite. God is always at work, and if he has been at work, you have in you, Paul said, we're like jars of clay with incredible messages inside. Just lift the lid off and let the gospel come out. You need to be anticipating that God wants to take your story of redemption and share it with somebody else, because I can't tell your story and you can't tell mine. You need to be willing to do that. You need to be able to do that. God will take things that are intended to destroy you and reshape those to bring about your rescue, to put hope in your life and joy in your soul. And listen, I hope that you will go home today. I mean, Super Bowl today, you're probably not going to read scripture, and that's okay. I mean, I shouldn't judge you, and I shouldn't say that because that's wrong, okay? It's between you and the Lord. Super Bowl. I thought about that. I'm having a soliloquy right now. It's okay. But here's the deal. Yeah. You may not read scripture today, but I want you to go back later this week and read chapter 1. And read the first verses of chapter 2, or read the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Because here's what you're going to see. Does anybody find it fascinating? Fascinating that God began the rescue of his people with the birth of a baby. Anybody catch that? The rescue of God's people really kicked into high gear with the birth of a baby. Does anybody find it fascinating that what the world intended to destroy that baby, God used to redeem and rescue his people? Anybody find it interesting that the most powerful man of his day could not stomp out the plans of God in this little boy's life? Anybody find it fascinating that just a few thousand years after this, in the city of Jerusalem, on a hill at Calvary, the most powerful government in the world, the most powerful leaders in the world could not stomp out the plans of God to rescue his people? Because what the enemy intended to harm Jesus, and what the enemy intended to crush you and me, God redeemed and restored on the cross. He rescued us through the finished work of Jesus. Every story in Scripture whispers the name of Jesus. You can read and be like, dude, later on, maybe you zoned out for just a few seconds recently and just the last couple minutes, and you go back and you read and you're like, I did not see the name Jesus anywhere in here. Like, pastor wouldn't lie to me from the platform, would he? Every story points towards the ultimate rescue of God's people. Because when he rescued them, and we're going to see it in just a couple weeks, when he rescued them, he didn't just rescue them to say, now you're free, now you're liberated, because guess what people do, the human condition being what it is? We eventually wander right back into being shackled and enslaved and oppressed by something else eventually. God set his people free so that they could be in relationship with him, and so that they could find identity, purpose, value, worth, not from the work of their hands, not from what the king said about them, not from a relationship that they entered into hoping that would fulfill them. God orchestrated the rescue of his people so that they could find in him everything that they had ever longed for. And that's what God has done for us in Jesus. The birth of a child. Countless people tried to stamp out, tried to hold back. The plans of God will not be thwarted. Whether it's in the book of Exodus, as we see in the New Testament in Jerusalem, or whether it's in 2018, this is Scripture. If God is for you, then who can be against you? Is it possible that that is why the Lord brought us here this morning? To remind us that he is at work to orchestrate your redemption, your joy, your contentment that can only be found in him. And as the story of Moses points us towards Jesus, is it possible that you've been looking for Jesus your whole life? You just didn't know he was the rescue that you needed? That's why we exist as a church, to engage the whole person with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Anywhere, anytime, with anybody. So if you walked in here this morning and the needle in life is moving from bad to worse, God is always at work to rescue people from slavery. And whatever holds you back, the Lord can redeem and restore, so that you can live life with purpose, with hope, and with joy. And you find all of that in the person of Jesus. And his name is all over the pages of Exodus. Let's pray together.